The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I am joined by one of my book besties, Christina.
Hi.
Hello. One book bestie short tonight.
Kim
was unable to join us. We have all had so much going on in our lives.
We have.
It's honestly been a whirlwind of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And she was unable to finish the book, but with her blessing, she wanted us, Christine and I, to get on and record because we know how much all of you want to hear this episode. So she didn't want to, like, you know, hold us back so we could get all out to everybody.
Yes.
So we're missing Kim tonight, but Christine and I are very, very excited talk about Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros.
Oh my God, guys.
Guys, this has become my whole personality.
Literally, it's become my whole personality. I just finished this book legitimately 15 minutes ago, and I feel like I'm a crazy person. Okay,
so let's go ahead and dive in.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let everyone know that this is part one of our episode, but there will be spoilers for the entire book. So if you haven't read the entire book, please come back and then listen to part one after you finish.
Yeah.
Okay, when was the last time, Christina, that we read a book that, like, I don't know, had such new world building?
Oh my God, I loved it. Like, this book had a lot of, so much hype, like, to the point where I was like, guys, everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah.
And I think I went in with a very, like, because of that, like, there were times at the very beginning that I was maybe a little like, I'm not, like, positive if this is gonna be what I want it to be. But when I tell you, very quickly after that, I was like, yep, all the hype, love it. It's my personality. I'm obsessed.
So
up
with
until
you.
The last page.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, because I read it first. I read it like 3 weeks ago. And I
oh
was
God,
like
you did.
So alone with my thoughts. Nobody, I literally didn't sleep. I couldn't stop reading.
Yeah.
And you and Kim hadn't started it yet. And I was like, guys, I just need you to start because I am dying inside.
Anna, who is, like, as you all know, like, the most anti-spoiler human in the entire
absolutely.
World, would be sending us Marco Polo videos and, like, trying to edit herself, not to be spoilery, but just wanted to, like, squeal with us about it. So she couldn't really say anything. She was just, like, kind of talking around things to the point where it was like she just wanted to get it out, but she couldn't actually.
I had no one to talk to. And I was like, and you're my people. You're my book besties.
I know.
And I was like, I
felt
just
so bad.
Need to talk to you about it.
I was like, I feel like we're letting Anna down. We gotta catch up.
Okay.
But then I did, and now I am here. I am with you. It's amazing.
The way I keep describing this book to everyone is I feel like it's the best of a YA book wrapped up as an adult series.
Yes.
Like, it has all of the fun. It's so plot driven, which I love because that's very YA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unique magic system, the world building is there.
Yeah.
We've got a great female character, a, like, male lead.
Yeah.
But then we also have, like, the romance and the steam that we love in our adult, like,
exactly.
fantasy books.
which is what's missing from the YA books. Yes. This is what we're missing.
We didn't know it was missing until we started reading them.
But you're right. That's such a great way to put it, because it does feel like the fun of a YA book. Like, mm-hmm. everything's so fast, and yeah. we're not trying to, like, make beautiful poetry. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not pretty, but we're not trying to, like, figure out the philosophical meaning of the blah and the blah. It's just like...
I think it was hard coming off of reading... which I won't spoil anything for Serpent.
Oh, mm-hmm.
What's the first one called?
Serpent and the Wings of the Night.
Serpent and the Wings of the Night?
That's of what it's called? Of the Night, yes. Okay. Yes.
All right, I always just called Serpent, so I can never remember.
I know.
So having come off reading the final book, which is Ashes and the Star-Cursed King, which Carissa Broadbent writes just very, like, lyrically, beautifully.
Yes.
This felt very different. It was much more, like, short sentences. I'm going to tell you, like, what's going on. Here are some, like, facts of the world. And yeah. that's what I mean when I say it kind of felt kind of YA to me.
Yes,
it read a little bit more like Hunger Games, Divergent, like early TOG in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then once I kind of got past that, like, it took a few chapters yeah. to get into the rhythm of the writing. I was like, oh, I am here for this. It's fun. It moves. It's...
Yes.
Yeah. It was great.
That's exactly how I feel. Yes, 100%. And there was almost like moments that you would think, I know this trope. I know what's going to happen here. Like, this yeah. is going to be a miscommunication thing. And I feel like the miscommunication specifically didn't happen where I thought it was going to. And that made me thrilled.
I was so happy that there wasn't a miscommunication. There really wasn't. I mean, not until the very end when...
I mean, even then...
like, even then, it's like
that
very...
also read very YA to me. I was like, Violet, come on. Just let's, you love him. But we'll get there.
Yes, I appreciated that about this book, because as like the opposite of Cassandra Clare.
Yes.
The
yes.
queen of miscommunication tropes.
One example of that in particular, when she's fighting with Dane and he is like, you didn't show me that memory. You showed everyone else through mm-hmm. your dragon. Like, why didn't you show me? Which, like, oh, God. But really, in my head, I was ready for it to be this YA, like, oh, okay, well, we're not really going to say what we mean. And we're not, like, we're just going to kind of skirt around it. And then we're going to be mad at each other around this, like, thing that we're not really talking right. about for chapters. And I really appreciated that she was like, you didn't ask my permission.
Yeah.
And he was like, I didn't? And she was like, no, you didn't ask me. And you just thought you were...
You demanded. Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, I'm sorry I didn't ask. I appreciated that
totally.
Communication.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so let's dive into the world building. I'm just going to quickly break down, because it's a new world.
Yeah.
So we have a continent or whatever, a world.
Yeah.
And at least in this content, there's two different neighboring countries, I'm going to call them.
Yeah.
There's not a world map, so it's hard to see. I think that was probably done on purpose. I feel like maybe the next book will get a map.
Interesting. I thought there was a map. No, it's just of the school.
Ugh, yeah. And that drove me crazy, because I kept having to keep all the geographical, like, locations in my head.
Honestly, I just didn't even. I was like, that's an outpost.
That's somewhere out there.
Nope. Don't know.
Literally an outpost out there
beyond
somewhere.
The gates. Yep.
Okay. So we have Navarre and Poromiel.
Poromiel.
Peromiel? Sorry. Okay, listeners, I'm sorry if we butcher some of this. We tried to listen to some of the Audible and we couldn't catch every single word.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, we'd appreciate a pronunciation guide.
Yes, that would be very helpful. So we have Navarre and Peromiel. Navarre is where Violet and, like, yeah. Rebeskayeth College is, and, like, where basically this entire book takes place. Peromiel is where they have the other humans live, but they have griffin. They have griffins instead of dragons.
Yeah.
And just like another little thing for the world building, Tirindor, which is like mentioned a lot, is where the rebellion happened, or the people who like started the uprising are from Tirindor. That's where like Zayden's whole family, Liam's whole family, Imogen's whole family, all from Tirindor. Oh, and then Beskayeth College, there's like four quadrants, which reminded me mm-hmm. so much of Divergent. Like, you can pick what faction
totally.
You want to join.
Totally.
You
know? The factions. Yes. Yeah,
the
I was
factions.
Thinking about that.
Yeah. So you can be a healer, a scribe, an infantry, or a dragon rider.
Yes.
All right. So our main female character, Violet, love her.
Bye.
She was like the most unannoying, that's not a word, but like not annoying main female character in a while that I've like been newly introduced to.
I was frustrated with her at the end, but it was a very small portion of the 600
something. Oh, well, book, I was frustrated with her at the end too, but like that's because I love Zayden.
But that's because he can do no wrong, and he's a perfect
he can do no
human.
Wrong.
But I totally agree. Throughout, I feel like she was such a fun character to read and one that I like rooted for. And she was really, really enjoyable.
And I also love, we had a lot of DMs from listeners who have chronic illness.
Yes.
And who read the book and they appreciated the way her character was portrayed with her illness and like the illness that she suffered. Well, I guess she was technically like in utero.
I'm
like
confused. Yeah.
So her mother contracted an illness while she was pregnant with Violet, and Violet as a result is very like
frail.
She's got like brittle bones, her ligaments and all of that. Physically fragile.
Yes.
Although I do love, okay, her mom's an asshole, like obviously. Oh,
the worst.
But her mother says something really interesting in the very first chapter. Like Mira is like, the sister is trying to fight and be like, mom, she can't go to be a dragon rider. Like she's going to die. Yeah. I've already lost a sibling. And her mother says something to her as Violet's turning to leave. And she says something, I don't have it highlighted, so I don't know where it is, but something along the lines of like, don't underestimate yourself. Like you have fought physical pain every day of your life and none of those people have. It's like it's in chapter one. And it was something that was like really stood out to me because her mother is a jerk.
I was about to say that seems so out of character.
I know.
Interesting.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Wait, let's just really quickly. I want to mention before we jump into plot, this little inscription, is that what it's called? Like after the dedication page, we have this.
Oh, Jesenia?
Yes. When you sent me that today, I was dying. I had not caught that at whatsoever. And it's so cool.
It is so cool. If you look at, so it says the following text has been faithfully transcribed from Navarian into the modern language by Jesenia Nilwart, curator of the Scribe Quadrant at Beskayeth War College. Jesenia is her best friend.
It's Jesenia! Yes!
Who we meet later.
What a fun little tidbit to throw in there.
It's so amazing. Cool because that means that like this whole story that we're reading is like, you know, supposed to be, her, you know, Jesenia writing it down. Like this is Jesenia telling us this story. Yes.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. Because then we know that.
Also, then it says all events are true and names have been preserved to honor the courage of those fallen. May their souls be commended to Malik. Oh. But like before we even go into the, it's just like, that's how we open. So cool.
Okay.
So I think it's called
Conscription Day.
Yes. So they all like, you know, pick their things.
Factions, yes.
And to be a writer is just like a death sentence, but people are really excited about the glory. And like, it's very Gryffindor.
And
I don't know.
Lot of people have been like training since they were 12.
Yeah, which is also very Hunger Games. There's a lot of things going on. So
Very District 1.
Yes, very disappointing. Okay, yes. So Mira is like, hey, sis, I am like a writer star. Like I am like the most elite celebrity writer because I am amazing. And I'm going to like try to convince mom that you can't do this. And then she's like, no, she has to. Also, Lilith has been training to be a scribe for like her entire life.
Yeah.
She has not done any training for this, but she takes her to this line and then they go up another line, like up these like steps, just making everyone stress out more and walk across this. I picture it, you know, like big stone walls outside like a Bridgertonish like estate, like castle-y thing, like that thin, but so high up that you can't.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, but it's like massively high up. Yeah. You will die if you fall. Like there is no coming back from it.
No coming back. You're like in the clouds. You're in like the clouds. So high. Yeah.
And
not
only that, but it's like windy and raining and
terrible weather.
Oh my God. Okay. So Violet's like in line and she meets like the girl in front of her who becomes her bestie.
Oh, her bestie.
And she's like, hey, look, your boots suck. So why don't we like, my boots are awesome. So let's like swap one boot each and this might help you grip the rocks more.
Because Mira is like, it's going to rain. You have to put the... Did Mira give her the boots?
Yeah, Mira gave her the boots and then also gave her like the dragon scale corset armor thing.
Yeah.
Which very much reminds me of like in TOG when Selena feels like tugs, you know, about things in life. Like,
oh, she got a tug from Ree.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to swap boots. And it's really important because who's like the next person that she meets? Zayden. And Zayden notes it.
Yes. At the end, he's like, when he's talking about when he fell for her and all these moments, he's
I
like,
love that
or was it when you like swapped a bit, this boot? Oh my God. It's
for
so
a stranger
good.
You didn't know.
For
and
a stranger you just met. Like, oh. So
I
good.
Love him. Also, when Mira, like, Violet's like, who's that? Like, she points to Zayden because he's, like, so sexy.
Oh, my
sexy.
God, yeah.
And Mira's like, that's Zayden Morrison. You stay away from him. He's
stay
trouble.
Stay away from him. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
I immediately highlighted and I was like, well, he's our love interest. 1,000%.
Hello, male lead. Right, because she's like, find Dane immediately.
Yeah.
And then she goes, and stay away from Zayden.
She says it like three times. Stay away. Keep away. Don't go near him.
Heads up.
He's trouble.
Don't go near him. He's bad. Hey, remember, you're supposed to stay away from Zayden.
Methinks thou don't protest too much.
Also, then Zayden, like, pops up, like, almost immediately, like, on the parapet.
He's like, hey, girl.
And he's sexy as hell, and he's like just so
the way
hot.
She describes him is like a Greek god,
and he has like a scar on his eyebrow, and it's just like so hot. Okay, so and then there's also some guy in line that's like a little sweet, sweet boy,
oh, sweet and Dylan, and he has a fiance.
Because we can get married after or something. Like there's
he's
like
gonna,
a
like he's waiting to propose until he gets back.
Oh god!
And I literally, so listeners, I know we said I read it first, but Christina had started the book, but then she had to pause it, and yeah. So we were reading it together for like a hot second, and I highlighted it and I sent it to her, and I said, "So Dylan's gonna die."
And you know what? Legitimately, 2 pages later,
He died. He fell off.
Okay. So yeah, so she's walking across this crazy parapet. Mm-hmm. We're walking. It's so scary and so awful. And like the way she talks about the wind here, all the descriptions, really, really good.
Also, what she does here, which she also does in the gauntlet, is like her, I don't know, coping mechanism for stress is to like quote facts.
Yes.
So,
I feel like
Rebecca used this as like a writing tool to like tell the readers things, which I was like, I feel like she's talking at me and like telling me info when she could be like showing it in more creative ways.
Yeah.
But that's like
this felt, because it was right off the bat. It was like, okay, coincidentally, when I'm nervous, I recite historical facts that you also need as the reader to understand about the world.
So let me tell you about Navarre and our big war.
Back in the day. Yeah. That is one of the things that felt YA to me, but like it was fine. Like
it's fine. Like I can forgive it because of the rest of the book.
Exactly. That's how I feel about all of the little hangups I have.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. 1000%. Okay. So anyway, so Violet is crossing the parapet. We've got also there's this asshole Jack.
Oh my god.
Also, why did
god?
Everybody has these names, and then there's just Jack. He's such an asshole.
Oh my god. And it's just Jack.
Just Jack.
He's. Okay, and Kim made this point, too, when she had started reading it. This particularly feels...
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Very YA to me that's like, I hate you because I do, and there's no reason. Yeah, and there's all of a sudden reason. I want you dead and I'm a villain. And it was like, hello, nice to meet you, Jack. Like, why do you hate me? Zayden should hate me more than you.
Zayden makes sense. Zayden's anger makes sense to me. Jax is literally like, who crawled up your ass and died?
Why are you such
an asshole?
And he's like this like lunatic behind like like chasing her through the rain. And it's a lot. But she makes it.
She makes it. Okay, I love though when he gets off the parapet and he's like, you are dead, Soren Gale.
Yeah.
And then also, she's a Soren Gale. Like, you think that this asshole would be like, hey, your mom's like the general of the armies, like, or whatever. You know, maybe I should suck up to you.
He would be like, I need you to like me, not like, I'm gonna murder you.
No, I want to kill you.
So
she makes it across,
and we see the dragons for the first time, which is very cool. And
we see
the dragons are so cool. We'll get into them more later, but like, oh my god, they're
Zayden,
so cool.
I love when Sigale shows up and she like sniffs.
I noted this because there's a moment where she like, so the dragons are all there, they're all scared, and it's the first like real moment of violence we see, because they people are running away scared of them,
and the dragons like, okay, no shot.
Just burn them up. Literally, just like, just disintegrate.
Ashes.
Just burn them up. But there's a moment there, I'm pretty sure, where Sigale looks at her and she kind of like decides to lift her chin instead of being scared.
Mm-hmm.
And Sigale like blinks, or there's like a moment, and then she looks
blinks.
Away. But it's
no,
like,
she looks at her and she says like, and I took that as she's seeing like an inner strength.
Yeah, me too.
Or like it's not like, you know, she might
And we
be-
didn't even know that was Zayden's.
No, I didn't know it was Zayden. Yeah. I highlighted it though.
Okay.
Okay.
What's next?
Okay, so we get through like that whole initial thing with the dragons and the parapet.
Yeah, we're at orientation.
We're meeting people, we're getting our schedule, we're getting our locker number, we're getting
our locker combo.
Okay, so we also meet Dane, which we'll get into Dane.
Oh my
in a
god,
little
Dane.
Bit. But Dane is
I'm gonna have to compose myself.
We'll get into Dane in a second, but we meet Dane.
Yeah.
And we learn about, like, you know, they have like sparring classes and they do challenges where like you get paired up with like another person and you have to like, you know,
fight.
Also very divergent and like fight.
Yeah.
Oh, also big thing is we learned that there are four wings, first, second, third, and fourth wing.
Oh my God, this confused me so
much.
Okay,
I figured it out. Okay.
Okay, okay.
So we've got first, second, third, and fourth wing. Obviously, well, there's a switcheroo that happens, but end of the story is Violet ends up in fourth wing.
Yeah.
And Zayden is the wing leader of fourth wing. Okay, so in every wing, we have three sections, flame, tail, and claw. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Flame, tail, and claw. Think of it as parts of a dragon.
Right.
Because it is.
Because
and
it
then
is.
In every because it is. And then in every section, there are, shoot, I can't remember if it's three or four squads. So basically, it's like you have, nobody can see my fingers except Christina, but you have four.
But they're very helpful, y'all. Yeah.
Yeah. And think of it as like a little, a family tree. So you've got four wings at the top. And then from one of the wings, you'll have three sections, flame, tail, and claw. And then off of each of those sections, like off of flame section, which is where Violet is, you have first squad, second squad, and like third squad.
Right. Because then when some people die and their squad gets too small, they like then, lump like, into
they
one.
Blend. Yeah. Yeah, they lump into one. Exactly. Exactly. So,
you know what I could have used?
A Venn diagram, or not a Venn diagram.
Yep.
But a diagram.
An org chart.
Yeah. Something. Yeah.
I just blazed through it and was like, I'll figure this out eventually. But it felt at times overly complicated.
Yeah.
But yes. So Dane is her squad leader.
Yes. Dane yes. is the squad leader of section two. I think she's in section two.
I don't even remember.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah.
But like honestly. Jack is in her squad.
Yes.
And so is Rhiannon.
There's a really bitchy girl that I can't remember her name, but she sucks.
Oh yeah. I think she doesn't like a dragon.
Yeah. Dragon burns it up. It's so
dragon
satisfying.
Burns her up.
And there's Riddick is in there, who's a sweet,
oh, I love,
fun
Riddick
guy.
Is so funny. I love him.
Yeah.
I really hope we get more of him in next book. Like, I hope.
I agree.
Okay. I think we go to, like, our first brief battle brief class or something.
Yes, battle brief. Yeah, which is really interesting.
That's very interesting.
Right, because she's, like, feeding answers to
Rhiannon,
and then,
yeah.
And then the professor is like, why don't you tell us?
Because she's always right.
Because Jack is like being an asshole to her from the back and like, yeah. What? That's ridiculous. And then the
you're stupid.
Professor is like, actually, she's right. And then they're like, oh.
I love it. I love it.
Oh my God. It also like broke my heart, the moment in that first battle brief where I think Markham, the guy who's like the head of the scribes.
Yeah.
Comes and does battle brief every day.
Oh.
And he stands up on the stage and I guess no one told him that she didn't on conscription day
go
to the scribes.
Become a scribe.
Because she's been training to be his protege
yeah.
for like years, like her whole life. He was friends with her dad, like whole life. And he just like looks out and sees her and is just like so sad that
I
she's
know.
There and not in the scribes. That got me. I was like, oh God, let her go back to the library.
I know.
God,
well, this is when, this is funny. We can talk about Dane for a second. This is when Christina okay. was texting me and was like,
oh yeah.
See, Dane just wants to help her get back to the scribes. And she really needs to go back to the scribes because girlfriend cannot survive in the Dragon Riders quadrant.
What a bitch I am.
And
I hate myself.
I had already obviously finished the book. And so Christina's texting me. This was so hard to keep a straight face.
Oh my God. I can't believe you did it. I was like, I know that she's not going to leave because plot.
Yes.
But, and I truly think that my innerness came out and I was like, oh my God, girl, go. Get out of there. He is sending you
to
he's
safety.
Holding out a hand. It's a safety net. You love the library. You love the scribes. Go.
Be with your books.
Go sign with Jessenia. But no, I hate myself for feeling that in the moment. She does a good job though, I think, of the like I want to protect you thing at first to me read
yeah.
genuine and I liked it. I just also love a like I want to protect you vibe.
So
that
it's
was
so
very
funny because I think I had such a different experience with
yeah.
Dane. I didn't dislike him. I did not think it was gonna go the way it did. His betrayal
oh me either that
was a surprise
yeah.
for me. But his protectiveness immediately put me on edge, which was very different from you.
Yeah, I
and
liked
I
it
think,
at first.
And I think it's because I saw Zayden and I was like, that's it, done. I don't care what you say, Dane.
I'm not supposed to like you.
I don't care. You gonna protect her? You won't protect her as much as Zayden can protect her.
Which is like all we had seen of Zayden was him being like soaring Gale and like brooding and like I'm gonna kill you and
work
like,
that out in therapy. I probably need to work
oh my God.
Therapy. But I was like, no, I'm done.
Are you dark and twisty with an eyebrow scar?
No. Do you have like a tattoo going up your arm and up your neck to your jaw? No.
But no, I think that she did a good job of laying it on so thick and it really becoming what it ultimately is at the exact same time as Zayden started building her up. Mm. So it was like every interaction she had with Zayden made me hate Dane more, and every interaction with Dane made me like Zayden more. And it was just this like really interesting juxtaposition there. Okay, but yeah, we can get to them more later.
Okay.
So plot, where are we?
There's these things called challenges, right? Like where, we don't need to explain it. You read the book, listeners. But we've got these challenges.
You know.
You know. So we've got these like challenges on the sparring mat or whatever. Mira, unbeknownst to Violet, like I guess somehow comes to Biscayath College, and she's like secretly slips their...
She like bribes someone to put it under her pillow or something.
We forgot to say that her brother Brennan, who died in the uprising, he wrote like a diary that he gave to his sister Mira before she went to the writer's quadrant.
Also, such a good big brother move.
I know. Great. What a good big brother.
Job. So helpful.
So she then slipped it, like bribed someone to slip it underneath Violet's pillow so that she could have this. And one of the things in there is that you, if you know where to look, you can find who you're going to be challenged against in the sparring mat.
Yes.
And like you can like prepare yourself.
Yes.
So Violet,
very helpful.
Sneaky, sneaky Violet's like, okay, well, my bones are brittle, my ligaments are bendy, so I can't fight.
Yeah, not my strong suit.
But I can poison people because I'm really smart.
But you know what I can do? Pick those berries. And grind them up. I loved this. This whole thing where she volunteered for like lunch lady duty in the like early morning. And Dane is like, why did you pick this one? This is terrible.
I know, because Dane insists on like going with her.
Which, yeah. But she's like, I don't know. I just like it.
And I don't know. I just like to poison people.
Okay, wait. When she's getting poison though, when she's getting the berries is when we...
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so she sneaks out at night in her little like cloak or whatever. Sneaky sneak. And she sneaks out into the woods or whatever. And she's up in the tree because the berries grow at the tippy top, because berries do.
Of course they do.
Also, this is important, sorry. So at the beginning of the chapter, it says how no more than 3 individuals with a relic scar can be together in a group, which we find out later.
We find out later.
Is because, why, Christina?
So sneaky. Because if more than 3 of them are gathered together, then
General Milgram,
the scary Melgrin man, his foresight of how a battle's gonna end doesn't work.
Yes.
It doesn't work if there's too many of them together.
Which is like such a Heavenly Fire moment.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because these people put the relics on them.
Yes.
Oh no.
Well, the dragons
put them on them. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were they their parents' dragons? Ooh. Which dragons put them on there?
Yeah, I was gonna say if it was like maybe one of like the traitor dragons, the dragons were like, hey, this is a sneaky way for us to all get together in the future.
One of you will figure it out eventually. Yeah.
But anyways, so that's why Violet's freaking out, because there's like, I don't know, 12 or 14 of them all together. And she's like, oh my God.
Well, because she's hiding in this tree and they all come out in the meeting. And the whole time I was like, they are going to see her in this tree. They're just going to peek up and see her. And I just pictured her in this tree, like trying to hide behind, but clearly visible. Oh my God. So she's like, they're doing mischievous bad things. And really, they're just being sweet older,
like mentors.
Hey, thank you. That's the term
they're
I was looking for.
Who's struggling with in sparring?
Yeah.
Who's struggling in brief battles? Like, let's get together. Let's work together. Who needs a tutor?
You know what? Let's have a study group. But really, they're like, how can we help you?
But the most important thing that we learn is one of the first years is like, well, what are we supposed to do in battle brief class when they say things? And Zayden just says basically like something along the lines of, you just nod your head and act like you agree with it. And it's like, well, we know the truth. And Violet's like, what are they talking about?
What are they talking about? Because he's like, just learn what they tell you and like, study that, but don't.
But you know the truth or something like that.
Yeah. And she's like, in her tree, like, what? but yeah, so then they leave, she gets down from the tree, and this is the first time her and Zayden have like a moment.
So she thinks everyone's gone. She like waits and waits and waits. Zayden is like so funny. Like Zayden's like, bitch, I know you're there.
I'm just gonna wait this bitch out. Yeah.
I'm just gonna wait you out.
I also have to say here, I loved how she described and used his shadows.
Yes.
So in other books, I think the shadows, we've all seen it done before, in ways that are very cool. But somehow this at this point, she threw the daggers like at him and went right by his head, whatever. And she described him standing there and his shadows curling up next to him and like as hands grabbing the daggers out. And he is just standing there with his palm out and waiting for the shadow to like place it back in. And like something about the shadows being so specifically like almost hands, like you can make them do whatever he wants. And also like black a whole thing out and whatever.
Yeah.
It was so sexy, but also so like sexy. I just loved how he used them, I guess.
There are other characters I'm thinking about in other books where I feel like obviously I love them, and specifically I'm thinking of a certain person. Yeah. A shadow singer, who we all love.
Yeah.
But I feel like his shadows aren't described in the same way as Aiden's are, and I really appreciated the description because I feel like I got a much more tangible experience with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, he's like, don't tell our secret. And she's like, I won't. And for some reason he believes her, but it's like also they're having a nice banter.
He's like,
moment.
Well, I guess I owe you a favor now. And she's like, okay, whatever.
Oh, right. And then I love this. He goes, he's like walking backwards into his shadows. And he goes, now you better get back to your room before your wing leader, finds out. And she's like, you are my wing leader. And he's like, shadow miss spy. Like,
I just kept disappears into the
shadows. Yeah. He's like, smirking, walking backwards into mist and shadows. I loved it.
It was so good.
Okay, so that happens.
Okay, so that happens.
So she poisons lots of people, and she does it great.
Yes.
And it's like no one is suspicious that challenge after challenge, the people that she
is challenging
competes against all of a sudden
get sick.
Are like getting sick and vomiting or like really sweaty and like can't punch. Like, and she's like, whoops, I don't know why this keeps happening.
So Zayden is like, I'm going to challenge you.
Oh, wait, does he?
Well, Jane, no.
Oh, no, it's like in training.
It's in training. It's like a training exercise. This isn't actually a challenge. And Dane is all like, oh, no, don't like.
Dane's like, I don't know about this. It's good.
And meanwhile, I'm as the reader, I'm like, yes, please pin her to the ground.
And we're like, yeah, get on that mat, Zayden.
And
so hot in all of these.
So while he's training her, every time, because every time you win a challenge, which she has been winning them all against her competitors, you get to take a dagger or like a weapon
their
from
dagger,
that person. Yeah. So she's racked up daggers,
and they're all in her
body, thighs, and whatever.
Yes.
And so Zayden, the way that he's like training her is like every time he pins her, he like sexily pulls out a dagger.
For some reason, the way this was written was so
hot.
Like
so
maybe
hot.
Just the way she described their like physicality. It's a whole part where she's like up, like her head is like against his chest and he's like speaking into her ear and like then she whirls around.
And he's got her pinned
so
and like
good.
A whisper in her ear. Ugh.
Yes, in her so ear. Good. And then, okay, so also this is when he's like, you can't just poison everyone you come against, like come up against. You have to learn how to fight. And she's like, how'd you know that? And he's like, I know everything.
You know that.
And he's then teaching her in that moment. He's like, stab me here in the kidney.
This is my weak spot. Yeah, this is what you would do.
You are like small enough that you have to use that to your advantage. Like, the most instruction she has received this entire time. Like, no one else has been teaching her these things.
I also love, like, she is, like, also can't help being turned on by him. And she's, she's, like, being pinned there. And she's, like, has an inner monologue going. And
she's, totally.
Like, it goes, you're not attracted to toxic men, I remind myself. And yet, here I am, getting all attracted.
That line specifically was, like, so, like, felt like something that, like, a person in, like, real life would totally say.
This is how I feel about Zayden. The moment I met him, I was like, well, you're probably toxic AF, but here I am.
But I'm here for it. Okay, yes. So they spar on the mat and it's so hot. And then also in that, there's a really wonderful Dane moment because Dane is like, no, she can't do that. She's frail and fragile. And Zayden's like, fuck you, I'm doing it. And then he takes all her daggers eventually from her. And then he's like walking away, just all smug and hot and Zayden-y. And then he turns around loudly so like everyone can hear them, like in this big gym. And he turns around and he's like, Atos, she could do with less protecting and more instructing. And you're like, oh God, it's so good. Because also he's his wing leader, like he's his boss.
It's so good. Because also, let me tell you, this is the kind of protecting I want.
Oh, agreed.
It's not about how do I get you to safety. It's like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to fight for yourself.
Yes.
And you're going to learn how to be a strong woman in your own right.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes,
Zayden.
Yes, Zayden. Okay, so, but next plot-wise is the gauntlet.
The gauntlet.
The next big thing is gauntlet. So it was awesome and badass and crazy, But in no way, shape, or form was I, do I have a picture, an understanding of how this looks.
Yeah.
I like really in my house, like it's just an obstacle course. Like that's what it is.
And what is it, like the Ninja Warrior?
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is. American Ninja Warrior.
It's American Ninja Warrior.
That's exactly what it is. Because the things are coming in and out and she can hit them, they bounce you off and like you have to crawl, go really fast around the thing.
Well, and she's been, so they've been practicing and like people died in practice because people just dropped dead.
Because you fall.
Because you fall. But she had been practicing, and the one thing she can't do is the final part of the gauntlet is like to run almost like vertically up to then get to the top of like the cliff. And it's supposed to mimic running up a dragon's leg, because that's how you get on their back, because a dragon will never like prostrate itself for you. Like,
the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
For a human, like it won't lower
prostrate itself. Yeah. Really good term. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. But she can't do it. She keeps falling.
Because she's too short. She's too short. She's like, I literally physically am too short.
Yeah. And so then it's Zayden who says like, basically something along is like, maybe you need to like think outside the box.
I think he says the right way isn't the only.
The right way isn't the only way. That you're right. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And so now it's the gauntlet and you're not supposed to use anything to help you. Anything that's not your person. That's important.
Important term.
Important term. So she pulls out her blades when she gets to the final like run up and she like digs her blades in and drags herself up.
Oh, it's
so
good.
I wish you guys could see me punching the air right now.
She's doing it so well.
She gets herself up to the top.
Yes. And then Rhiannon and Riddick comes and like picks her up and like spin her around.
They're so excited. And Zayden, Amber's there. Amber is like the other squad leader or something.
She's the same level as Dane.
She's the same level as Dane. And we do know that her and Dane had like, which I thought was hilarious. Dane was like all like shy and like, oh, well, yeah, we kind of maybe had sex last year, but that was
maybe,
I don't know.
I was like, oh my God, are you trying to make her jealous? Because it's not working.
Like, I don't know. I think Violet wasn't even jealous. Violet was like, okay, well, cool. Like, I also had sex with other people. So
she sucks. It's fine. Like, I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
So Amber's all pissed off. She's like, she used daggers. You're only supposed to use your person. So then Violet quotes the codex and she says, a rider may only bring to the quadrant the items they can carry. Amber freaks out. She's like, are you quoting the codex to me? Violet keeps going. And they shall not be separated from those items, no matter what they may be. For once carried across the parapet, they are considered part of their person. Article 3, Section 6, Addendum B.
Part of their person. Yes! I love this. And then Amber is like, well, that's ridiculous.
That's cheating.
That's supposed to like be against theft, like yes. So that you can't steal things from people.
Yes.
And she was like, well, doesn't matter. This is
part of my person. I carried it across.
Yeah, part of my person. And then Zayden doesn't look away from her. He's just looking at her. And
he's looking directly at Violet.
He's like, well, she got you there, Amber. And then Amber's like, ugh.
Then Amber yells. She goes, you think like a scribe.
Oh, yeah.
And it's intended as an insult. And she goes, I know.
I love that. She's like, and you know what? It's a great quality.
Don't worry. We only have a few more chapters with her.
She gets her fair share. Also, Amber and Dane would date. Like,
they would.
They
fucking would.
Oh my God. They probably like did it on top of the codex. They were just like, oh, talk dirty to me. Read me the codex. Oh,
gross. Can you imagine?
Addendums. Okay.
Talk to me about addendums. Article B, Section 5.
Oh my God. Okay. Gauntlet. She does it. It's great. So, okay. The gauntlet itself.
Is a precursor, like a
weeds
out the
week. They're practicing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
They have like time on like the course
yes.
to practice. But the big gauntlet thing is a part of presentation because you can't get to the field.
Yes.
Where presentation is except for doing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like you have to do the gauntlet to physically get to the field.
Yes.
Also, it's supposed to, like you're worthy of the dragons or whatever.
Right.
But so she does it. She gets up there and then we're at presentation, which is just so fun. I loved this moment.
I loved the presentation.
What a fun way to write it. Like, it's just so cool.
Well, okay. So I love that it's not just the dragons that. So threshing is obviously the humans seeking out the dragons. But presentation day is, it's not dragons being presented to the humans. It's humans presenting themselves. Like, am I worthy of being bonded to you? Which I love, because it's kind of a flip, I feel like, on like a lot of other fantasy, you know.
I agree.
And I love that the, like, the humans are like having to walk and they're scared. And they're like, am I worthy to be a part of you?
It's really instilled in them a lot in their classes and stuff. Like, they're choosing you and you have to be worthy, like, of them. And there's also that whole thing where on presentation, they're like, walk 7 feet apart, because if they decide to, you know, incinerate someone next to you, then they might get you too. And then there's the whole thing where they're like, also, if you have conversations, that helps. Like, the dragons like to, like, get your personality, I guess, whatever. And Jack takes that as being like, I'm gonna be a big doofus and be like,
dude, what the hell?
Those stupid dumb dumb dragons.
Like, how did he not?
I can't even see the big one. I want the big one. And like, oh my God.
If I was a dragon, I'd be like, you're so fucking annoying. Like, I'm
happy we saved Jack's death for when we did. But in this moment, I was like, how is no one killing him? This is blatantly disrespectful.
How is he not dead?
Oh, also that poor little shy boy gets...
Oh, I know. I was like, but why?
Yeah.
I mean, I get like...
But that was an interesting moment.
Oh, he was very hesitant.
This is telling of the dragons. Because in my head, I was like, well, these people are assholes. Why would these dragons kill him for being like... Because he was like, well, if you guys want to, we can go back. But if not, like, that's fine. Like, whatever you guys want. Like, I don't want to be in front. And like the idea that a dragon would be like, that is worse to me than this asshole guy, because at least he has like something.
And I can understand that, especially if you're in battle. You don't want somebody who has like no viewpoint and somebody who can't make a decision. Jack could at least make a decision. It may be the wrong one, but he's decisive.
But yeah, but so that was really interesting. Oh, wait. And then the dragons come up to her. So she's there. Yeah, they're walking. And she's like, just like walking. Yeah. And then two green dragons
start to sniff her.
Come right up to her, to where they're like sniffing her.
I would and shit like, my pants.
Like, the way it's described is so good. Cause like them like sniffing and huffing and puffing is like all the like warm. It's almost blowing her over.
Yeah.
Like, it's like crazy. It's so much, cause they're so huge. And like, no, they have not come close to anyone else. And then she was like, oh, you smell
Mira.
Tiani?
Oh. Yeah. Well, Mira's dragon. I don't know the name.
Yeah. Tian? What? Mira's dragon. But, like, she realizes it and she goes, that's my sister's dragon. And she, like, very, very humanely, it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, took her scales and made this for me, like, to protect me.
Yes.
And they both, like, are like, okay. And then they step back. And I just, that was so interesting.
I loved that.
To me,
yeah.
That interaction. Like, I just loved it. I don't know. Something about it was so cool. And then she, like, starts walking away. And Rhiannon's like, oh my God, I didn't think you were going to live. And she's like, I didn't either.
I didn't either.
Like, I was going to die too.
Okay, so the last thing about the presentation is there is a little gold dragon at the end.
A feather tail.
A feather tail. Goldie, as I like to call her.
Yes!
She's at the end of the line.
Oh, so immediately they were like, we haven't seen a feather tail in years. They never hear. No one knows. They're so elusive. La-di-da-di-da.
They don't go into battle. Yeah. They don't fight. They are very
But they're like very rare.
Which we find out later is because they're hatchlings and because they're babies.
Children.
They're children.
Yeah, and they grow into other dragons.
And they grow into other dragons. But yeah, so there's a little bright gold sparkly little dragon.
Crazy
and
tail.
She's so cute.
And immediately when they like said it was there, I was like, oh, this is going to be her dragon. Like, this is like, I think I text you. I was like, the special dragon that hasn't been there in years. Okay,
so
like,
this
that's going to be hers.
For a loop. Because in Battle Brief earlier, like a few chapters earlier, they talk about the black dragon and how the black dragon hasn't been seen or hasn't bonded since its last rider died and it almost killed them, which is Taryn, which she ends up bonding to Taryn. But I was like, oh, she's going to bond to Taryn. Taryn's going to like see something in her or whatever and like recognize.
The big crazy black dragon.
The big crazy black dragon's going to be like, okay, I want to be with like you.
Yeah, yeah.
So Goldie's there and Goldie threw me for a loop because I was like, wait a second. Now there's a feather tail here. Who's she going to bond with?
Who is this? Who you be, feather tail?
Who is this?
I totally agree.
And I was also like, okay, but she's really small. You're both very tiny. And I feel like the black dragon would be a better bet.
Would be helpful. I did think, so this feather tail is going to be like almost like a metaphor for her. Like it's like small and
totally.
People discount the dragon because it's small and different. But really it's the most powerful dragon and no one knows because it's so rare and they haven't seen it for years and blah, blah, blah. That's not where we went. But I did really love that this dragon appears and everyone's like, what?
Except Jack and Oren. and Tynan, who are like, we gotta kill it.
Who
what the
are
hell?
Literal monsters. What is wrong with you? Like,
also, we have to put it out of its misery. Like, are you insane?
This is insanity.
Yeah, so they get through presentation, and then it's threshing. So threshing is like when the humans go out into a big field and they approach the dragons, and the dragons either smite you or they're like, yeah, sure, we can bond.
Sure, I guess you can live and
sure,
we can bond.
I guess. Also, there's no rules in threshing. They can kill each other. They can attack each other. They can whatever. And nobody can interfere. So Violet is lying low.
I think she's hiding in a tree again.
She loves hiding in trees. She loves her trees until she hears Jack, Orin, and Tynan, I think his name is. And they're like, we got to go seek out the gold one. Like, we got to put it out of its misery. Like, it's, you know, we got to, we're doing a service to
the. What the hell is wrong with you?
Like,
this is an audacity level that is
unmatched.
Especially with the, like, well, it's our duty.
Oh, dude, fuck off. Like, your duty to
you, okay.
What?
You, of all of the wings and sections and squads and people.
You think you're the strongest?
You don't even have a dragon yet. It's your duty to take it upon yourself to kill this dragon.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. The worst.
So Violet's like, okay, well, I can't let them kill Goldie. So I better go like warn her.
I gotta go warn her.
So she like runs up to Goldie. She gets there first and she's like, hey, scorch them. They're coming to kill you. Like maybe use your fire.
Hey.
Goldie's like, okay, well, like Goldie basically just looks at her like,
silent.
You silly human.
But no, she actually was just like, we're not bonded yet, so I can't talk in your head. And I'm like a child. So I'm like,
I'm a child.
That's funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, Jack, Tynan, and Orin show up. And I love this. Freaking Violet's like, okay, all right, bitch. Like she looks at Goldie. She's like, it's just you and me now. So
let's do
anytime
it.
You want to help out,
oh, yeah,
bring
she's
some
like,
fire.
Could really use some assistance. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She freaking takes out with a dagger Jack's like arm, good arm. And yes. He's like, my shoulder. Like, he's such a little bitch.
Oh,
like,
And then he runs away.
He's like a scared little boy, runs
and then
away.
As he runs away, he's like, you guys kill her. You have to. Like, oh my God. What?
So she like severely hurts Orin, but chooses to show mercy, which is a big thing later.
Yes. And then Zayden is standing there watching.
He shows
with
up.
Sigale.
He's not supposed
so
to be there.
Sigale has landed. And she looks over and they're both there. But he can't interfere for some ridiculous reason.
No, it's only first years are allowed on the threshing field. He should not have even flown in with Sigale. Like, that was a big no-no.
But Sigale was like, something's happening to Andarna. I have to go.
Yes.
You have to come with me, whatever. Which also, the audacity. I think Jack or one of them is like, you can't interfere. You can't do anything. And it's like, how do you think this is going to go for you?
He says, you can't interfere. And he goes, no, but I can narrate. And
yeah,
like,
exactly. Because he's like, on your left, to your left. Yeah. But also, how, realistically, Jack, how do you think this is going to go for you? You're going to kill a dragon in front of your wing leader and then be like, fuck you. And then you just go back to normal life after this and he's going to be your wing leader.
Also,
and
what
like,
dragon would want to bond to you after you've killed a dragon?
Yes, after this.
Like another dragon.
Yeah, okay. So Sigale's clearly, obviously, very upset about this. So now we know what happens is she then calls in her mate, the lovely
Tairn,
huge,
big, black, beautiful dragon.
Who, like, I love the way this was described because
it's
I think
so good.
It was Orin or Tynan, but she's facing them and Tairn lands behind her.
Yes.
And the shadow lands. And then she sees their chin just inch up and up,
up and up,
up and up.
And look.
Because he's so big. It's so good. Oh my God.
I love like Goldie like scurries behind. And
behind?
And then of course Tairn is like opens fire and like smites Tynan.
Yeah.
And then I love because immediately Tairn starts talking into Violet's mind. And so there she's like cut up and whatever. And he's like, do you bleed often? Like, is this normal for you?
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. Also, she can't climb up his leg. And
yes.
He lowers himself for her. And he's like, oh God, for fuck's sake. All right, hop on.
It's so good.
Like, come
and
on.
And the way he talks to her, even from their very first interaction, is just so fun and refreshing to read.
Yes. Well, he tells her before they land, when she gets on, after he lowers himself and she climbs on his back and she holds on, you know, she's like, why did you choose me? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And he says, you defended the smallest with ferocity and strength of courage is more important than physical strength.
Oh God, it's so good.
And then they land into like the big field.
That's also a crazy moment.
Yes.
So they land in the big field and everyone's there like with their dragons that they matched with. Like it's a they matched, dating.
Yeah. Set.
Okay. That they
bonded.
Yes. And then everyone looks at this like this is the huge, crazy, in ridiculous yes. dragon. And that she's on his back is so freaking cool. Oh, and Andarna came with them.
Yes, Andarna's flying with them.
Yeah.
Oh, and so as she's walking up, Andarna starts speaking in her mind, and Violet's like, okay, I don't know if anyone's told you this, but like, you're not supposed to talk to me unless we're bonded.
Yes.
And Violet tells Andarna, maybe you should fly off the next time someone suggests you save yourself. And Andarna just blinks at her, and then she goes, maybe I was saving you. And I was like, but
God damn it, my heart.
You were, Andarna. Like,
You were.
it's so sweet. I love it so much.
Oh, God.
As I was so obsessed with the dragons
Me
at
too.
This point.
The way they are used is, oh, so incredible. Okay, wait. So she gets up to the roll person, right?
Yes.
And
you have to give you the name of the dragon. And a dragon only reveals its full name if it's bonded to you. So she calls the dragon Taren in front of everybody else. But Taren gives her his like full dragon name.
It's like...
To
honestly,
recite. It's I can't pronounce it.
Like it's Gaelic. It's like yeah, Ternanak. No, I'm not.
It's Ternanak, son of Murta Quadavan and Fledalotro.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it
Murta
says.
Murta Quadavan.
Descended from the cunning Duin Manadadan. Like, I can't pronounce it.
Okay, so she gets up there and it says, I lift my chin, Ternanak.
Yeah.
And then he, in her head, says, pronunciation could use some work. And then she's like, hey, at least I remembered, whatever.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And then the woman grins. I can't believe he bonded Violet. He's a legend. And she's like, I open my mouth to agree. And then Andarnarom, the sweet high voice of the golden, fills my mind. Andarna for short. And then she just turns around and goes, excuse me, like out loud. And then Goldie in her head goes like, tell her. And then she goes to Taren. She's like, but Taren, what am I supposed to? And he interrupts her and says, tell the role keeper her name. And she just goes, Andarnarom.
Oh like, my God.
Both? Dragons,
so
and then she says, I nod, and all hell breaks loose.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, she does these dragons so well. Like
I love it.
The level of, like, sentient? Is that the right
word? No, yeah. Yes, it's sentience. It's, like, the way that they're able to communicate. It's so different than, like,
yes.
the dragons and, like, wyverns specifically we've read in other books that shall remain nameless for spoiler's sake.
They almost feel like pets. Like,
yes,
they almost feel like they're
glorified pets, or like they might have a personality, but it's like not described in words where we can hear them.
They're in no way like challenging you or your equal in like a battle scenario. Like you're not like talking to them.
I also love how tied they are to like the unique magic system with
yes.
how we have like the channeling, but all of the strength of your power and how strong your magic is comes from your dragon.
Yes.
And then I guess, which we were like, you and I were talking about when we were reading it to like clarify things, but dragons will give you magic to channel.
Yeah.
But then it's up to the human to manifest a specific type of like bigger magic, a signet. And it's not dependent on the dragon. It's dependent on the human. And a lot of times it mimics or manifests in something that like tells or is very telling of a person's like
yes.
innermost self.
I do think she explained that well, like almost in those exact words, she did explain that. I just wish that would have come a little earlier.
I agree.
I was a little more confused. We got there.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe I missed this, but one of the great things about an academia fantasy book
mm-hmm.
is that you are taught the world and the magic system with the leads while they're in class.
Yes.
Like that's just such a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
So this might have been explained in that like Professor Carr class or like something.
Yeah.
Anyways, I missed it if it was.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that she was waiting for the signet, and I knew it could, like, blow her up. She didn't, like, figure it out. But it took me a while to understand that it's like, oh, it's, like, your personality and part of you, and you have to, like, accept yourself and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think maybe this is a good place to stop for tonight.
Yes.
On the High of the Dragons.
I think that's
a great place. Great. Okay, yes. So stay tuned for part two of this fourth wing journey, where we will talk about the rest.
We haven't even got into the great stuff
of
yet.
This ridiculous journey. Oh my God. We haven't even talked about the sexy times.
Oh, Zayden.
The furniture breaking. It's very destructive.
Listen, nothing is safe. Nothing is safe. Okay.
Oh,
what
God.
Is with Literally these fantasy nothing. Books? Like, my God, Mother Nature is insane,
powers,
and now we're
you know?
Now we're hurting like furniture.
Armoires?
I hope it wasn't restoration hardware.
Oh, okay. So join us next time for our part two of Fourth Wing. And in the meantime, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe to us wherever you are listening to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading, listeners.
Cheers, listeners.
Bye.
Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.